This podcast is brought to you by Money Control. Hello and welcome to Money Control. You are listening to yet another episode of Corporate Buzz Podcast with me, your host, Shraddha Sharma. I have with me Money Control's Corporate Bureau Chief, Prince Thomas, joining in. He's going to tell us all about what happened with India Inc. in this past week. Hi, Prince. Thanks for joining in.
Thanks for having me, Shraddha.
So, Prince, let's start with Yes Bank. The bank is making headline today, but we see the private lender hasn't been in a very good position from quite some time. Could you please tell us what happened exactly with Yes Bank?
So what's happened today is from the kind of reaction the market is having from what happened last night. And when the RBI superseded the board and appointed an administrator to look after the affairs of Yes Bank. And there have also been talks about probably State Bank of India and LIC also coming in and infusing capital. So the whole uncertainty around it, and given that Yes Bank was fifth largest in India, and also one of the, probably the largest new age bank that India had in the last 1-2 decades. So the reaction has been extreme, and that just adds to the uncertainty that's been there. But it was almost in the coming, you know, for the past 1.5 years, the NPA problem had been mushrooming. And unfortunately, Yes Bank didn't have enough cash to service this NPA, which meant that it needed money to service this bad loan. Unfortunately, it wasn't able to raise money. Now, if you look at the statements that Ravneet Gill, the chief of Yes Bank, had been making the last 2-3 months, there were several rounds of fundraising attempts, but very little really materialized. In fact, if you remember, the list of investors itself completely changed from the first to the second announcement. And even the quarterly results were delayed. I believe RBI would have realized that despite the extensions, money wasn't coming. And it was only prudent for RBI to step in, because at least showed up some sentiment among investors, among customers of Yes Bank.
All right. So we have been hearing for quite some time that, you know, there'll be a capital injection in Yes Bank. Mm-hmm. What was the problem exactly in raising money?
So problem in raising money was that surely the investors weren't convinced about the bank itself, because as we said, the numbers weren't looking good. In September quarter, it had a loss of 600 crore. And in December, it wouldn't have been any better. So for sure, Yes Bank was having problem attracting marquee investors. If you look at the initial list that was shared, I think in December, very few of the investors were even known. Even the second list, there wasn't much for, you know, the market to really be confident about the fundraising prospects. So that was a real roadblock that was had come in. And that's why RBI had to step in.
Right. So last year, we saw Ravneet Gill taking over.
That's right.
From Rana Kapoor. And also there was a lot of discussion around that. Mm-hmm. How much of the blame can we put on Rana Kapoor?
Well, like you said, till beginning of last year, Rana Kapoor very much, you know, led the bank. And he was the face and the voice of the bank. And if you read reports and even our reports, and if you talk to industry executives, the buck started and stopped at Rana Kapoor. You know, he was known to be a hard taskmaster. At the same time, he drove the business for Yes Bank. Now, question to be asked by the regulators is that were those decisions and the processes that were followed good enough or not? And on what basis were those decisions taken? Because now it's part of the folklore, the way Rana Kapoor would get clients and, you know, get the deals done, and how he would make sure that the numbers look good. In fact, it used to be a great, huge talking point in the industry. How Yes Bank, with such a risk appetite, was able to have such a very low NPA, especially compared to its bigger peers. And Rana Kapoor was very proud of that fact. But then when RBI became really strict about disclosures, I think all the skeletons came out. So as in the way he did his business at Yes Bank, where the bug started and stopped with him, I think the blame here also should be
on Rana Kapoor. Yeah, because we saw the numbers of NPA going up significantly after Ravneet Gill took over.
Yes, because it had gone up before that itself. Because in the last 2 years, I think as RBI started setting down more disclosure norms, the numbers came tumbling out, you know. And if you look at many of the bad loan or defaults of last 1.5 years in corporate India, in many cases, Yes Bank was the banker. If you see from Cox & Kings, you look at CG Power, Yes Bank had huge exposure in each of them. So surely the processing and the process and the system that Yes Bank followed under Rana Kapoor was surely questionable.
Right. So Prince, yesterday before we heard the news of RBI superseding the board of Yes Bank, we also heard that there was a possibility that SBI could buy a stake in Yes Bank. Mm-hmm. So how do you see, you know, SBI or LIC mm-hmm. helping the current position of Yes Bank?
So if you go back a month, you would see that wherever Rajnish Kumar, that who is the SBI chief, would go, people would ask him about Yes Bank. So one would wonder why everyone is asking him the question. Shouldn't they ask this to the RBI or the government? The only reason why people would ask him is that in India, it's only SBI who can probably, you know, invest in Yes Bank. And because Yes Bank is the only one who is big enough to do that. So SBI yesterday had made a statement saying that it is looking at a proposal. As we know from our sources, and Money Control did a story last night about LIC also being approached for the same. Now, there are two scenarios. Could be SBI by itself taking a stake in Yes Bank. And there have been reports talking about the stake. But we can't say anything because it's not been confirmed or not. Hasn't been made official. Or SBI could make a consortium that would include LIC.
Right.
And these would really come at a very, very low acquisition cost, because we see that the stock has really tanked, and one of the brokerage firms had put a target of ₹1. So basically, I don't think SBI nor LIC would want to spend really much in acquiring the stakes. The important part is to infuse capital, and that is what SBI and LIC would do.
Right. And also, whenever we hear the news of, you know, RBI superseding the board of a bank, we suddenly remember PMC crisis. So now Yes Bank has also has a withdrawal limit of ₹50,000 that RBI has set. What do you see ahead for Yes Bank after this?
So I think all the three, in fact, SBI, RBI and the Finance Ministry has come out strongly today saying that the resolution plan is surely in the works. It could come or be announced as early as later on March 6th or sometime later in the next few days. And the SBI chairman himself said that they wouldn't need more than a month to really resolve what's the problem with Yes Bank. So that should give some confidence, because as we know, Yes Bank was a big corporate lender. It had a huge retail base too. So that's what we will be looking forward to. Now, the market would be looking forward to statements from RBI and SBI. Look at the deal also, if something comes from SBI and LIC. But very much the buck is with RBI and the governor, and everyone would be keen to see the steps taken by the regulator.
All right, because the markets also, the reaction that we saw for Yes Bank was really weak in the morning as as the markets opened.
That's right.
So we need to bring back the investor confidence also.
Exactly. It opened really low, I think 85% low. And after the statements came, the stock did make some recovery. So I think the investors are taking some solace from the comments that have been made till now.
Right. And there was pressure on SBI as well in the morning.
Yes, very much. Because it doesn't look, I mean, commercially, if you look at the what would attract SBI to buy something in Yes Bank, there's very little. So any infusion would add the burden on SBI. So that's why SBI investors have reacted the way they did. But I think the larger question here is to not let a bank go down.
All right, now let's move to the aviation sector. Mm-hmm. Let's come to Jet Airways and the EB probe on founder Naresh Goyal. Mm-hmm. This is also making headlines today. Prince, if you could just tell us, why are the investigations continuing on Naresh Goyal? What are the charges, if you help us understand that?
Yeah, so with Naresh Goyal, multiple charges now. Till about a few months ago, the charges were regarding foreign exchange regulations. Now there's an addition of the money laundering. And his ties with a UAE-based bank is also being investigated. And as we speak, Naresh Goyal and his wife may go for a third day of questioning by the Enforcement Directorate. And all these are from the time when he headed Jet Airways. Some of the transactions are under the lens. Let's see how it goes.
Right, because Jet is also not operational from last year. Mm-hmm. And now we hear the news of the founder under investigation.
Right. That's right. So we'll surely hear more next week too.
All right, Prince. In terms of, you know, the India Inc. sentiments, coronavirus is something that has, you know, created sort of a panic, not only in the people, but also in the industry front.
Yes.
So how do you see coronavirus actually impacting not only the sentiments, but the real economic impact that it might have on the companies?
Sure. So some of the hype is justified, because the spread, even when it was in China, had already made an impact, because for many of the sectors in India, the raw material comes from China. Now, even as the situation in China has improved, the rest of the world seems to be getting infected. And now it has come to India. Each day the number is increasing in India. So this is surely has affected the sentiment. But with sentiment, it also will impact the purchasing behavior of customers. And they will be a little more circumspect now. And this will start impacting. It will start with the customer face companies like FMCG, be it auto. You know, they won't go out that much to watch movies or to eat outside. All this will have effect. And these have the domino effect, like fewer people calling for taxis, things like that. And then this will eventually have an impact down the line and to other industries too. So the critical part here is that there surely are measures to protect ourselves. Surely the economy is going to be impacted. If this is curtailed in the next 1 month or two, I think we would be in a good position. If it goes beyond that, we are looking at some serious damage.
All right, if you talk in terms of Indian numbers, now today, at the time of recording this podcast, there are 31 confirmed cases, out of which 3 have recovered. But now the number is increasing.
Yes.
And most of the companies in the US in the affected areas have said that, employees should rather work from home. Either they have told everybody to go back home. Mm-hmm. Do you see any of that happening in India anytime soon?
Oh, yes. So already we started seeing that, especially in the IT companies where the job profile is such that some of them could go work from home. And many of the IT companies have done this because you would know that one of the confirmed cases involved a techie. So because of which IT companies have been a little more aggressive in making sure that their campuses are clean and fumigated, which means that the employees can't come to office. So they have to work from home. And if you look at how it has impacted other industries, other sectors, globally, aviation sector has completely been hammered. Now we're talking about losses of almost $113 billion. Some of the airlines already are looking at really closing down. So given that it's come to India, it was already impacting international travel from India. Now it may start impacting domestic travel too. So airlines are another space which really would be worried because of the spread.
Right. So we can only suggest that just take precautions, but do not panic.
Exactly.
And only so much we can do sometimes. Moving back to the aviation sector, the national carrier divestment is the topic that we'll keep on bothering
That's
you
right.
for. So any updates on that? Last we heard is the government approving 100% FDI.
Yeah. And today the ministry has said that they may extend the deadline to some of the bids too. And that is because we also saw that some amendments were made. Now, the government has allowed NRIs to fully own Air India, which is not the case till now. NRIs were brought under the FDI limit, which means that they could own only 49%. But by making this amendment, the government is really keeping the doors open for any investors. Now, surely the move has, led to discussions about which NRI would be interested now. And there are multiple names. But we'll have to see if the coronavirus, the impact, the slowdown would have an impact on Air India divestment too. And IATA, the global industry organization, has actually said that the impact of coronavirus could be there on the disinvestment too. Surely next week, we'll go to hear more on this.
So Prince, if we talk about the deal, it looks like a sweeter deal if we compare it to the last year.
That's right.
In terms of the burden of debt, terms of 100% stake that is being offered.
Yes.
But this time, the environment looks a little more difficult compared to previous year.
True.
So in that sense, is the deal actually sweeter because of the difficult times we might be facing?
Yeah, it's a very valid question because given the demand sentiment that you have, and we already talked about IATA estimating losses of at 113 billion as of now. This could increase as the virus spreads globally. And in India, till now, the airlines hadn't been that impacted because their operations in China were minimal. But now because the virus is spreading, the impact has also increased. And now with the virus coming in the domestic market, that surely would have a telling on how any a suitor would look at the whole proposition of Air India. Because anyone who comes and he looks at the whole profile of the company, the debt, the human resource, they would have a plan about, how much they would need to invest to turn around the operations, what could be the return, what could be the timeline. All this would get stretched because the low economic sentiment and the damages from the virus.
Right, so we'll be looking at Air India divestment and its subsidiaries, Air India Express divestment as well.
That's
so
right.
We'll get back to you on more information on that. But for now, thank you for sharing some really important insights with us.
Welcome, Shanda.
Thanks, Prince. You shared some really important insights with us today. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to this special podcast. We are all ears to your feedbacks and suggestions, so do write to us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control.